song. Before we begin, this is not really a, part of the message this morning, but from the book of Psalms in chapter 12 and verse 8, I'd just like to read some. This is a description, or this sums up the way the society that we live in is today. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Isn't that the truth? Our politicians and our preachers today are vile, wicked men. They are exalted, and the wicked love it.
Pastor, you're cutting in and out.
Am I?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm going to do?
Your baseball bat?
No, I'm going to turn it off altogether, and then I'll just scream. There, that'll solve that problem. Okay. Where do we go now? Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21. We're going to be there just briefly. And we're going to continue our study on the book of Revelation. In Luke chapter 21, I gave you something up on the board there you may be interested in. I don't know. But the outline of the book of Revelation is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. It's the past, the present, and the future. It says the things that thou hast seen. Chapter 1, the things which are, the present church age that we're living in today. Chapters 2 and 3. Hereafter, chapter 4, verse 1, through the rest of the book of Revelation, is the future. Throughout the book of Revelation, you'll find a series of parentheses. People read the parentheses and it kind of throws them off. They get a complete misunderstanding of what Revelation's all about. A revelation is, or parentheses rather, is an explanatory or qualifying word, clause, or sentence inserted into a passage with which it has not necessarily any grammatical connection. And if that sounds complicated, it isn't. It's simply a clause. Inserted. Revelation chapter 7 is a parenthesis in the book of Revelation, along with many others. And as we go through Revelation, we'll see that. But it's simply a word, clause, sentence, or qualifying word put into the grammatical thing, put into the whole thing, just to add a little more than what is already there. A parenthesis. So you need to understand that as we study the book of Revelation. Luke chapter 21, if you will. Verse 22, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled, the seven-year tribulation. Verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles. That's happening today, by the way. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. God's word. Everything God's word has. Verse 32, if you will. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In other words, everything in the Bible needs to be fulfilled. And it will be. In the book of Revelation, we have chapter 6, which is a picture of the first 3 1/2 years. So turn over there, if you will. Revelation chapter 6. And while you're doing there, I would like to read something from Mark chapter 13. Just add a little more to this in Mark chapter 13. But turn over in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. In Mark chapter 13, I'd like to read a verse to you. Verse 19. Concerning the seven-year tribulation, Jesus Christ said, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created, unto this time neither shall be. In other words, the 7-year tribulation is going to be the worst time in the history of the world. There will not be anything like it. Never has been, and there never will be after. Revelation chapter 6. In verse 9, we see those who are under the altar who were slain for the testimony, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, yes, we believe in Jesus Christ. They will be beheaded. You can mark down Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. They were beheaded for their testimony, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, Lord? In other words, how long will we be before we get our new glorified body? Jesus Christ said, until those who are living on the earth who will have a testimony like you will be killed just like you. And they were given white robes in verse 11. And in the last part of verse 11, and your fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Mark down Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. We're not going to go there, but mark it down. Go there some other time. Verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every slave, bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. In verse 17, underline this verse, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Look up here on this chart that we have here, this beautiful chart. We have the rapture of the church. The 7-year tribulation begins with a white horse, and then we have three more horses. Then we have all the first six seals are opened during the first half of the tribulation. And we see this them under the altar, and we see all these things going on during the first six seals. Right in the middle of the 7-year tribulation, the Antichrist sits on the throne, says, I'm God. I am God. He wants to be God today, by the way. Someone said to me last week, do you think Satan knows what's going to happen to him? He certainly does. Yeah. I think he can read. I think he has an IQ of a couple of million. Yeah. He has no trouble reading. He knows more about the Bible than you do. Yes, he does, and he's not happy about it. He's going to go in the lake of fire for all time and eternity, and he wants you to go with him. Old Satan does, and he's going to take a lot of people with him. Right in the middle of the 7-year tribulation, he says, I'm God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But in the first 3.5 years, before he sits on the throne, the first six seals are open. The sixth seal is the seal we want to look at this evening. We have to remember that the 7-year tribulation will be 100% chaotic. There will be no peace whatsoever. If you think about, well, when the rapture takes place, isn't that going to be chaotic? I mean, airplanes are going to crash, cars are going to crash, buses, trains, everything's going to be without drivers. It's going to be chaotic. Yes, it is. But it doesn't make any difference because the entire 7 years will be so chaotic, people won't pay any attention to one or the other. It'll be terrible. In the first 3.5 years, one-fourth of the population of the earth will die from either famine, animals, whatever. It's going to be constant turmoil, earthquakes, wars, rumors. It's going to be terrible. You know, you can get out of church here this morning, go out and get in your car, go out and have a bite to eat, go home, watch television, do whatever you... Nobody's going to bother you, are they? It's pretty calm, peaceful out there. And the reason is because God's Holy Spirit is on this earth holding back Satan, holding back sin, holding back evil. Unfortunately, Barack Obama has more freedom than he should, but whatever. Whatever. Max Young says he thinks Barack Obama is the closest thing to the Antichrist you and I will ever see. And you know what? I'm inclined to agree with him. He likes people like him. He has he speaks well. He walks well. He looks well. He talks well. Everything he does is poetic. Yet he is one of the most evil human beings I've ever seen. You may hate me for that, but I really don't care. I really don't. Anyhow, so we see all these things taking place in the world. But when the last seal, the sixth seal rather, is opened during the last half, and then the Bible says in verse 17, then shall be great wrath, the last half. Imagine that, if you will. Imagine that, if you will. During the first half, you've got all of these terrible, terrible things going on, and then the Bible says that the last half will be the great tribulation. As if the first half isn't bad enough. People will hate each other. It'll be all of man's faulty attributes will be manifest, but they'll be manifold 100 times over. Mm-hmm. Hatred, pride, prejudice, all of the, it'll be terrible, terrible, terrible. Thank God I'm not going to be here. And we realize that Jesus Christ opened the seven sealed scroll. Did you remember that? What he's doing is, it's the title deed to the planet Earth because he gave his blood for the Earth. This is the title deed. When he is through with the title deed, he will own the Earth. However, it's also his word. It's written, already written. So with that in mind, we have all that in mind. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. I made up my mind a long time ago when I started the book of Revelation that I'm going to spend a lot of time on it because I'm going to try to go through the entire Bible as we do this. What's the importance of that? To show that God's Word is absolutely perfect. He doesn't make any mistakes. It is 100% accurate, and what he says he will do, he will do. Isaiah chapter 2. I'm going to use my pointer. I like this pointer. This was a cheap pointer. I went to Walmart and I got some expensive pointers. I threw all them things away and I used my cheap one that Joe gave me. Works great. So throw away your Cadillac, drive your Ford. It's just as well. Anyhow, Isaiah chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 1, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, Israel. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Look up here at our chart. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, right here, God will set up his kingdom, the kingdom promised to the nation of Israel. It'll come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. His law will go forth. It'll be perfect, absolutely perfect. No man-made laws, no Jewish laws, no Sharia law. Do you know that the world is headed for the Sharia law right now today? The Sharia law is the Muslim law. It's a law founded on the law of Satan, not God. If you're a woman, you better run and hide because the Sharia law is out to destroy you. The Muslim hates you. If you're a woman, they don't like you very much if you don't believe in their religion. But if you're a woman, they really hate you. Did you know that the Muslim male doesn't get circumcised? He circumcised the woman. And if you're a woman and your husband gets mad at you for any little thing, he has a perfect right, according to the Sharia law, to kill you.
He's in Florida right now. Our man did that down in Florida, and one of our federal judges is allowing that man to go have that case in a Sharia law court, which is against our Constitution.
It's against the Constitution, but it's going to happen. And do you know that the Muslim religion, Islam, is the most ungodly religion, anti-Christ religion, ever established? Ever established? We could go on and talk about that forever.
They consider women property. They can trample on them.
Yeah, women. And here's another thing about the Muslim religion. I just want to throw this out. Many, many black people are converting to the Muslim religion. Many white people. Doesn't matter what color it is, but the important thing is this. The point is this. It was the Arabs that began slavery long before they were shipped to the United States of America. And yet, those people who hate slavery and try to make you feel guilty about it convert to the very same religion that began slavery a long time ago. Isn't that sad? It's a hypocritical world we live in. But anyway, someday Jesus Christ is going to set up his kingdom, but before he does, the world needs cleansed. You and I won't be here. I hope you won't be here. I know I won't. The world has to go through 7 years of cleansing, God's judgment, wrath. Everything that takes place in the book of Revelation, all of the plagues are plagues that man has asked for. He asked for them. We've already discussed that many times. Go on down here, if you will, Isaiah chapter 2. You see, God has already prophesied all this way back, even before Revelation. The only difference is, in Revelation, he opens it up so he makes it much more explanatory than he ever did in the Old Testament. Verse 6, therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished, or, your Scofield Bible, are filled with customs from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philippines, in other words, fortune tellers. And they please themselves in the children of strangers, that is, false religion adhered to the truth, the lie and the truth, all together. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. Think about that. Look up here, if you will. Can you imagine going through all of this and realizing that it comes from God and still not trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? I can't imagine, but that's what they do. God said in 2 Thessalonians that he will send them strong delusion that they would believe the lie. We have people today that would much rather believe the lie than believe the truth. We have TV preachers that tell you that they can heal people just by slapping them on the forehead or whatever. Do you know that's a lie? Do you know that Paul the Apostle couldn't heal Trophimus? He said, I left Trophimus behind sick. If anybody could heal, wouldn't you think Paul could? He couldn't heal Trophimus. He said, I left him behind in Miletus sick. How come you didn't heal him before you left, Paul? What's wrong with you, Paul? You're not nearly as strong as Benny Hinn, Paul. You would have healed him, you know. It's all a lie. I can't heal anybody. I don't have that power. Jesus Christ can, but not me. If Paul could heal everybody, then why didn't he heal Timothy? He said, Timothy, drink no longer water but wine for thy many infirmities. Lies, lies, lies. And then God says that they will enter into the rock, hide from God and from the glory. In verse 11, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Imagine that. Someday the Lord will be exalted. He will have to go through all of this. The Antichrist who will sit on the throne, he will allow that to happen. All of this, just so he can be exalted. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope you've already exalted him. I hope you have. And then God goes on to explain the high and mighty, the lofty, all of those who reject him. And verse 18, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. Do you know that's the reason, by the way, for all of this? Because mankind refuses to accept the very simple gospel. Mankind would rather be religious. Yeah, he would rather be religious. He would rather go somewhere and have holy water sprinkled on him than to hear the truth. Mankind would rather go somewhere and scream and shout than hear the truth. Mankind would rather do anything but hear the very simple truth. And in verse 19, and they shall go into the caves. Your Bible may have another word for that, but it's caves. They shall go into the caves of the rocks and into the holes, caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. And that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they have made each one for himself, to worship to the moles and to the bats. In other words, they're going to take their idols and throw them while they're running. That's going to be amazing. Somebody asked me the other day, do you think we can see all that? I said, I certainly hope so. Yeah, but if you see all this stuff going on the earth, won't you feel sorry for these people? No. I do not. Do you know how many people I've told how to be saved? Do you know how many have been and you don't see them in church? They'll miss the rapture, but do you know how many aren't saved, rejected? No, I don't feel sorry for them. Somebody said, well, you should. Well, I don't. Because if this is God's word fulfilled, and he doesn't feel sorry for them, I sure as hell don't.
Yep.
Excuse my language. I get over it. They hide. And they throw their idols to the moles and to the bats. To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. That is going to be an amazing time in history. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? In other words, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, not some religious idiot. Don't ever trust in me, that's for sure. I'm just a man. Don't trust what I say, I'm just a man. Go to the Bible and read it for yourself. I've always told the people in our church, test me. When you leave here, go home and read and test me. And if you find out I'm wrong, come on back and tell me and I'll change my mind. You know what I'm saying? Test me. I'm just a man. Turn over, if you will, to the book of Joel before we run out of time. We're almost out of time this morning. Joel chapter 2, if you will. Verse 1. In chapter 1, verse 15 of Joel, it says, alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. It will happen. No doubt about it. It's a done deal. God said it will, and it will happen. Do you know how you can prove the Bible? History. Jesus Christ was literal. He was real. The Old Testament prophesied of his coming. 300 times some people said it prophesied of his coming, and he did. And not only that, it even prophesies of more of his second coming, and he will. Verse 1, chapter 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm, for in my holy mountain let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Notice what it said. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds, of thick darkness, like the morning, spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, and so forth. Verse 11, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great and strong, and the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Nobody, actually. Nobody. Then let's skip some verses and go on over here, if you will. Verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and so forth, and so forth. All of these things are going to take place because God said it will. Jesus Christ said all these things must be fulfilled. Before all of these things take place, though, the very next event is the rapture of the church. Jay gave us this picture. This represents those who are buried, their bodies. This represents everyone taken at the rapture. The rapture works like this. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, here's how it works, so pay attention. The Bible says I'm a sinner. This represents me. This represents my sin. The Bible says I need to go to hell and pay for it. But if the rapture took place today, I would be left behind because my sin wasn't paid. I would be left behind to go into all of this. All of that. All of this. All of that. Anyhow, if I never trusted Christ as my Savior, I would be left behind. Everybody that I know that trusted Christ would be gone. However, the Bible says Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for the forgiveness of sin. Over and over again, the Bible says that. And the Bible says all I have to do to have eternal life is to believe it. Boom. The very second I believe Christ died on the cross and paid for my sin, he takes my sin, puts it to his account, marks it paid, I have eternal life. What a deal. And if the rapture takes place today, I'm going to be out of here. Everyone I know who has died, Jesus Christ will bring with him. I will go up to meet them in the air, and we will ever be with the Lord. I will miss the white horse, the red horse, the pale horse. I will miss all of those plagues, and if I trust Christ as my Savior during the tribulation, I won't be beheaded because I won't be there. I'll be gone. Pretty good deal, huh? I'll tell you, if you're here today and you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, all you have to do is say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me. Do you know Jesus Christ died on the cross, said, it is finished? What's finished? Everything he said had to take place was finished. The Old Testament said he would come. The Old Testament said he would live. The Old Testament said he would die. The Old Testament said he would rise again. He said it is finished. It's done. So if you're here today and you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, just say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me. He takes your sins and marked it paid. Or you don't have to do anything. But hell is a pretty hot place, isn't it? It certainly is. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close this morning, if you will. Now, dear Lord and Heavenly Father, if you're here this morning, if there's anyone here that don't know they're going to heaven, right now before we close, just between you and the Lord, say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. That's all you have to do. The very second you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, and he did that for you, you have to make it personal. Make it personal. He died for you. He takes your sin and marked it paid. You don't have to do anything else. It's that simple. And then if the rapture takes place, or if you die first, you will be ushered into heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't beat a deal like that. Dear Lord, we ask your blessings on each one here this morning, and we thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, let's go, if you will, to page 222, I think, is where we're going. As soon as I get things operating here.
Lord's Supper first or afterwards?
What do you think we ought to do? Sing a song or do the Lord's Supper?
Lord's Supper.
Lord's Supper? Okay, let's do the Lord's Supper first.
Get everybody downstairs?
Yeah. Yeah, have everybody come up. I forgot about it again. And I'm the one that set it all up. What's that? Bread first. And I'll have whoever. One of you can bless the bread, one of you can bless the wine. That's all right. Very good. Very good. Very good. Sit down. Okay. It's all ready. All ready to go. I like my pointer.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it was over Jesus when he was doing this. It was, I remember it was just all bare and it looked real cool. And then just getting all the colors on,
it looks chaotic, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah,
but it will be.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's the way it's going to be. But they went out the back door.
Something like that.
Oh, no, never mind. I was wrong again. I am tired of being wrong. Okay, we're going to do the Lord's Supper, and the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. He didn't say you had to be perfect. He didn't say you had to be a Baptist or a Methodist or a Lutheran. All he said was, do this in remembrance of me, and so that's what we do, and we'll let the fellows pass out the bread first, and then we'll bless the bread. Partook of the bread, they blessed.
Bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, this is the most important thing that's ever been done for us in our lives, is when you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. His body was broken for us. We can't imagine all the pain and torture he went through, but we know it was because you loved us so much. Lord, we just want to honor and thank you for all these things you've done for us. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. And they partook of the bread. Feed that kid. They've got plenty of bread here. Okay.
He's just abusing your mother.
Okay. bless it. Or before they partook of the wine, they blessed it.
The Lord said, let this wine represent my blood that is shed for you. And Lord, we just thank you for shedding your blood on that cross for us, cover our sins, so we may have eternal life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. And they partook of the wine. Wonderful.